This is VA News, reporting by remote. I'm Joe Ramsey. G7 leaders will commit on Sunday to increase their climate finance contributions with a spending pledge of $100 billion a year to help poorer countries cut carbon emissions and cope with global warming. As part of plans billed as helping speed the finance of infrastructure projects in developing countries and a shift to renewable and sustainable technology, the world's seven most advanced economies are making the pledge at the G7 summit in southwestern England. Some green groups are unimpressed, with Greenpeace UK saying host British Prime Minister Boris Johnson had, quote, simply reheated old promises, and that it would, quote, take nothing for granted until nations came up with the money. Developed countries agreed at the United Nations in 2009 to together contribute $100 billion each year by 2020 in climate finance to poorer countries, many of whom are grappling with rising seas, storms, and droughts made worse by climate change. That target was not met, derailed in part by the coronavirus pandemic, which forced the British government to postpone a United Nations climate change conference until later this year. At least 12 people were killed and 39 seriously injured Sunday after a gas line explosion tore through a residential neighborhood in central China. Responders to the early morning blast in the city of Xi'an in Hubei province sent more than 150 people to the hospital, according to officials quoted by state media. The cause of the explosion remains under investigation. The blast struck a two-story building, which includes pharmacies, restaurants, and other businesses. More than 900 people were evacuated from the area. Images showed rescuers climbing over broken concrete slabs to reach those trapped inside. This is VOA News. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's record 12-year hold on power is set to end on Sunday when Parliament votes on a new government, ushering in an administration that has pledged to heal a nation divided over his departure. The 71-year-old Netanyahu is the most dominant Israeli politician of his generation, but he failed to form a government after a March 23rd election, the fourth in 2 years. The new cabinet will be sworn in after a Knesset confidence vote it is expected to win, and it was cobbled together by the centrist opposition leader Yair Lapid and ultra-nationalist Naftali Bennett. Bennett is a hawkish high-tech millionaire and will serve as premier for 2 years before Lapid, a former TV host, takes over. They will head a government comprising parties from across the political spectrum, including for the first time one that represents Israel's 21% Arab minority. Finland's local elections Sunday are seen as a first test for its popular young social democratic prime minister Sanna Marin, who took office 18 months ago shortly before the pandemic and whose party is now behind in polls. The vote to renew local councils in Finland's more than 300 municipalities is viewed as a key indication of party's popularity ahead of the country's 2023 parliamentary election. Stakes are higher this time because the elections were postponed for 2 months due to COVID-19. And because the tensions inside Marin's center-left five-party governing coalition. The 35-year-old Marin became Europe's youngest government leader in December 2019. She enjoys high personal popularity and has won international praise for her handling of the COVID-19 crisis in her country. The elections are the first for her as a leader at both the government and her party. Swiss voters are casting ballots in a referendum that would hike fees and taxes on fuels that generate carbon dioxide. It comes as their rich alpine country experiences an outsized impact from the fallout of climate change. The proposal would revise and strengthen an existing law that aims to reduce CO2 emissions by 2030. It's one of several measures facing voters nationwide on Sunday in the latest referendums in Swiss democracy. Among other issues on nationwide ballots is a referendum on the government's COVID-19 law, which critics say is too expensive, and another on improving drinking water. And Iran's seven presidential candidates have offered starkly different views in the country's final debate. Hardliners on Saturday described those seeking ties with the West as, quote, infiltrators. The race's sole moderate warned a hardline government would only bring more sanctions for the Islamic Republic. Next week's election will see voters pick a candidate to replace the relatively moderate President Rouhani, whose term is limited from running again. Reporting by remote, I'm Joe Ramsey, VOA News.